want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Thank God. I want to welcome everyone and thank God for everyone that tuned into the broadcast today. Father, I pray for President Trump. I thank you that you're using him to restore law and order in our land and to bring about peace and prosperity to America and make America a global leader. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I thank you, Father, you told us not to give you any rest till you make Israel a praise in all the earth. I thank you here in America for the House of Representatives, all the members of the Senate. I thank you for judges all over the land. I thank you for the military officers and state, local, and federal law enforcement agency. Thank God. All right. I'm going to be talking about perfect conscience, having a perfect conscience. I want to first review what we discussed last week about how that whatsoever is written in your heart will determine how you act. And I gave the example of the law written in your hearts out of Romans 2, 14 and 15, and how that made us act, the way it made us act and conduct ourselves. And also how the words of the New Testament are written in the heart and make us the epistle of Christ or act like Christ out of 2 Corinthians 3, Chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Let's look at that. Romans 2, 14, Good News Translation. The Gentiles do not have the law, but whether they do by instinct what the law commands, they are their own law, even though they do not have the law. Their conduct shows what the law commands is written in their hearts. Their consciences also show that this is true, since their thoughts seem sometimes accuse them and sometimes defend them. Same scriptures, J.D. Phillips, New Testament. When the Gentiles who have no knowledge of the law act in accordance with it by the light of nature, they show that they have a law in themselves. For they demonstrate the effect of the law operating in their own hearts. Their own conscience endorses the existence of such a law, for there is something which condemns or commends their actions. All right. So, you know, there's an example. If you study those that, you'll see what's written in your heart right there, which in this case is the law of Moses. It makes you act a certain way. 2 Corinthians 3, 2, New Living Translation. The only letter of recommendation we need is you ourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. The letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tables of stone, but on human hearts. So you saw the ministry, their ministry, by the way these people acted. That's what it's saying. Skip down to verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stone was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, you know what it is, it's making a differential between the ministry of the law and the ministry of the Spirit of God. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. Now it's comparing the ministration of condemnation to the ministration of righteousness. Okay? Ministration of righteousness, the gospel, and it's by the Spirit. Ministration of condemnation is the flesh. Did you know that ministers to this day are writing in people's hearts a ministration of death and condemnation? And you know, I've heard people say that, oh, well, that person needs to go to hell. You know, they talk about something they did wrong. They said they can just go to hell. They need to go to hell. That's because the ministration of condemnation that's written in their heart makes them talk like that. You know, I want to be a person who shows mercy and receives mercy and causes people around me to receive mercy from God. And that's how God wants us to act. That's how he teaches us to act. So, you know, when I hear people, they need to go to hell, I thought, man, don't ever say that. Condemn not, that you be not condemned. You wonder if these people ever even read the Bible. They certainly don't practice it. Not in that situation, they don't. Okay, Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, write them, and in their minds will I write them. So, when I read before God talking about writing his covenant in heart, when I used to read that about God writing the covenant in heart, I thought he was just doing it so we wouldn't forget it. And that may hold true to some aspect. But what I didn't know was he was writing, he is currently writing the New Testament heart, and he does it. We saw there, it's done by the Spirit through ministers. He's doing it to change our hearts. And I gave you two examples. The law of Moses, he already wrote that in heart. We were born with that. And he wants to erase that from our hearts so we don't act that way anymore. And then he's writing the words of the New Testament so we'll act that way, act like the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be a great encouragement to all of us as we get a hold of this truth, because it breaks it down on a simple level of how every one of us can yield to God and get our hearts changed. How? Just read the Word of God out loud. And your own tongue can write it on your heart as you speak it. That's Psalm 145:1. And then when you make the connection that a person with a new heart can walk in the Spirit, and then they can overcome any problem in their life and overcome any spirit that comes against them. See, that's where you get the victories, when you begin to move in the Spirit. And if you... And I've taught on this before. I'm not going to get into it with this podcast. But as you get your heart changed, you can walk in the Spirit of God. Now, I shared last week how that apostles and prophets taught the foundation written in Hebrews 6:1-2. Then how it says Paul was a wise master builder. He's laying the foundation. And that's in 1 Corinthians 3:10. And in verse 9, the previous verse, it says, we're that building. Okay? And that building is not our body, but our heart. So these two scriptures and others show us that the apostles and the prophets speak the words of God to us. And as they do, they are writing the words of God at heart. And that's laying, when it starts off with the foundation, that's laying a foundation or the beginning of the changing of our hearts. And then other ministers can write the words of God in our heart. And then you also can write the words of God in your own heart by speaking as you get in faith. Now, you have to get in faith. See, that's another thing I need to bring up. You need to get in faith. Why? Because when you get in faith, then you'll speak by the Spirit. When you speak the word of God by the Spirit, you'll write in your heart. Just like it talks about us resisting the devil in Ephesians 6. And it says that the word of God is a sword. Well, it's when you're speaking by the Spirit, it's a sword. Just reading the word of the devil won't do any good. You got to get in faith. You have to resist him in faith. See, you'll have to learn to, keep an ongoing, your faith going. Then you'll see better results in your life. Okay, turn to Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And we just read what the foundation was, or we didn't read it, but we told you it was in Hebrews 6:1-2, and it's repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, eternal judgment. I think I got all of them. Okay, so we're built upon that foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So here it says the household of God are built upon that foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together, that's our body being framed. And it's talking about being built together with other believers, because we're going to become the body of Christ. But it's also framing your own heart. Groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, this building is our heart. And as our hearts are rebuilt, they become the temple of the Lord. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You can be, and as your heart is rebuilt, you can be inhabited by God, where you can hold the Spirit of God. And so when you get filled up with the Spirit, it won't leak out. And then when you stay filled with the Spirit, you can walk in the Spirit. Then you can overcome anything that comes your way. So I can take these scriptures and others and show you how they all fit together to describe becoming a new creature in Christ, a new creature in Christ, and that this is being born again of the Word of God. And I go at it from different angles. I keep laying it down. I'm sure there's some of you, if you've already got a hold of this, you say, I see it. I see what you're saying. Some of you, not yet. And some of you, it's starting to get written in your heart, and it'll begin working. Okay? 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Okay, let's read Ephesians 2:21 again. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple of the Lord. Okay, so once again, your heart is the building here that is becoming the temple of God for God to dwell in and remain in, as your heart is being framed, that temple. Now look at Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So seeing God frame the worlds by His Word, do you think it's any big deal for Him to frame your heart by His Word? Nah. So our temples are the Spirit, for the Spirit of God to dwell in. And it says our heart is rebuilt. And our hearts also, I'm going to show you this, become Christ's house as we continue in the faith. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? This is our heart. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoice of the hope firm unto the end. You know, the devil, it talks about where the devil's cast out of people. And he says he walketh through dry places. He says, I will return unto my house. He was going to go back into that person. That's what the devil wants to do. So anyway, our hearts become Christ's house to dwell in and live through if we hold fast our confidence or our faith. See, I'm showing you through the scripture, your heart has to be rebuilt to become the temple of God. See, people just get baptized in the Spirit and they think, oh, you know, I'm full of the Spirit. Well, you'll have to pray to stay filled with the Spirit, and you won't be able to stay filled until your heart's rebuilt. Okay, now, this doesn't mean that you have to make it to this place spiritually to go to heaven. I have to constantly bring this up because when you're talking about going on to perfection, being corrected, being brought to repentance, there's people that got so much fear and guilt, they're afraid that you're telling them that they're not saved yet. Salvation is an ongoing process. At the initial stage of salvation, you already have eternal life. If you'll stay in Christ, which means you make an effort to walk in the Word of God, walk after Spirit, then you're not condemned. You're only condemned if you willfully sin. But God wants to take you on to perfection, and He wants to get that foundation written in you. And those of you that say, well, I just want to go to heaven, I don't care about growing spiritually, well, you should want to go on with God. First of all, just for the blessings and to get set free from sin and to be a more fruitful Christian. But you also want to be one of those wise virgins talked about in Matthew 25, whose lamps were filled with oil or the Spirit of God, and so that you can be ready for the coming of the Lord. Okay, let's talk about getting a perfect conscience. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. See, we can't be made perfect by the law of Moses. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more sacrifice or no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood a bulls and goats should take away our sins. See, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take the sin nature out of man. But look what can. Hold your place in Hebrews 10 and turn to John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming on him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Okay, back to Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, offer sin thou wouldest not, neither had his pleasure in which are offered by the law. Notice God has no pleasure in those sacrifices under the law. Faith is what pleases God. We're righteous by faith. We live righteously by faith. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and often offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. You want to live by the law? Never take away sin. You want to try to combine the law and the gospel? You can't get the second established till you take away the first. Okay? We just read that. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. And the body of Christ, the people, individual members, becoming the body of Christ, then the devil's put under our feet. For by one offering he have perfected forever them that are sanctified. All right. Now people, they'll read this in other scriptures and they'll say, see, it was all done. Just save Jesus, you're a new creature. Not taking the whole word of God and putting it all together. Take scriptures like this. Oh, it's all done. See, so those that teach Jesus made you perfect and you just receive him and you're perfect are just ignoring their sinful condition that they're still in. They are ignoring all the other scriptures teaching you have to continue in the faith to be made perfect. Turn to Colossians 1:21. Let's look at one of them. And you that sometimes alienate enemies are in bond by wicked words, yet now is he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. That was done on the cross. Now you receive it. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. If you're moved away from the hope of the gospel, it will not come to pass. If you don't continue in the faith, you won't be brought to perfection, which was preached to every creature was under heaven, whereof Paul and I made a minister. See, we become holy, unblameable, and unreprovable if we continue in the faith. So you have to continue in the faith to be made perfect. Hebrews 10:39, but we are not them who draw back on to prediction that are perdition, that's destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Till your soul's totally saved, you're not perfect yet. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, not the beginning of your faith, the end of your faith. See, you haven't reached perfection till your soul is made sound. Okay, let's go ahead and put a song here, Via Della Rosa by Pamela Pontia.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head, and he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Now the Via Della Rosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you. down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, tres días en Jerusalén, los soldados le aprean paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del dolor, como vea, vino Cristo, Rey y Señor. Y fue Él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí. Por la Via Dolorosa, al Calvario ya morí. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Okay, so there are lots of scriptures showing where we're not made perfect immediately or by just receiving Jesus. We must continue in the faith. Now back to Hebrews 10, verse 15, where the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said this before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, in their minds will I write them. Their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. So God had no pleasure in the sacrifice of bulls and goats, which could never take away man's sin nature. But our sin nature was crucified with Christ, and Jesus' body took away our sin. So the old covenant could make your conscience perfect, but the new covenant can. But God is going to have to write it in your heart so you can believe it and receive the salvation of God. See, Jesus did everything on the cross, but you're going to have to get it in your heart, receive it, and then it will become real. Revelation will come, and then you'll be able to believe it. And then as you use your faith, you'll start receiving. John 16:8. And when he has come, this is talking about the Spirit of God, he'll reprove or convince the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. Of sin, he'll convince you of sin because you believe not on me. Now, if you're believing on Jesus, you'll never promise sin. Your sins are in the process of all being dealt with. Just keep believing. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. He'll convince you you've been made righteous. Why? Because he went to the Father. He was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for you. And he wants to convince you you've been made righteous. Of judgment, the Lord wants to convince you, and he'll use his Spirit to convince you that the prince of this world is judged. When was he judged? When Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. Verse 12, and this really blessed me when I read this last week, and I believe it was a blessing to other people. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He didn't say you weren't going to bear them in the future. He says you can't bear them now. John 16:12, easy to read version. I have so much more to tell you, but it is too much for you to accept now. Same scripture, contemporary English version. I have much more to say to you, but right now it would be more than you could understand. With every one of these translations, you can see you're going to get it. You just can't get it right away. Same scripture, common English Bible. I have much more to say to you, but you can't handle it now. New Matthew Bible. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot receive them now. Okay? But keep putting the Word of God in your heart. Keep doing your best to follow the Spirit. And you know the way you follow the Spirit, just read the Bible, mind the things of the Spirit. And as you get in faith, the Spirit of God will lead you. And He'll lead you. When you're reading the Word of God and getting faith, He will lead you other scriptures to read, and He'll guide. He does this to me all the time. Okay? And so I was the same way as everybody else. Oh, how do I let the Spirit of God lead me? I didn't have a clue. But as I read the Bible, He began to lead me to this scripture, and then I would read this, and then He would lead me to this scripture, and He began to teach me His word. The Lord taught me His word by the Spirit. Okay, turn to John 8:31. Then said Jesus, those Jesus believed Him, if you continue My word, you are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, and let me tell you something. When God's dealing with you, and you're wanting to know the truth, and you're seeking God, and you're reading the word, and he's correct, He's bringing repentance, He's delighting in that. He's not mad at you. Why? Because you're coming to Him wanting to be delivered. You're coming to walk in the truth. He loves that. So as He's exposing evil in you, He's not going, oh no, I didn't know that was there. He already knew that was there. He's not bothered about that. He's here to set you free. Okay, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, you know, we just read, you can't receive the truth yet, but you're gonna. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So, as you continue in the Word of God, it will get written in your heart. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free as you're able to receive it. And you'll be able to receive it as it's conceived in your heart, as it's written in your heart. Now, back to the law of Moses. People, you know how I say the law has been done with. People think that I'm tearing down the moral code that maintains righteousness in our land by saying we don't live by the Ten Commandments. But the law of Moses hasn't been done away with for the transgressors. It's just not for the righteous. It's still serving its purpose by making the transgressors guilty. Now, we that follow God, we don't practice sins. We deal with the works of the flesh. You know, we still got to deal with our sins. We still got to overcome our sins, and we deal with them. Even the ones that are a violation of the Ten Commandments, we deal with those by faith, not by the law. See, so when I say the righteous don't live by the law, we live by faith, and we overcome the sins by faith, mixing it with that the old man was crucified with Christ. We're mixing it with the gospel. And our faith mixed with the gospel puts to death the sin. Ten Commandments doesn't get rid of our sins. They stay in us. And those of you that say, well, it's good when people feel guilty for their sin. Not after they receive the Lord. It's a schoolmaster. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. After that, then God wants to start setting you free from sin. You already come to the Lord. It served its purpose for the believer. And as I study scripture, it looks like God only wants you guilty. Like I said, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He doesn't use guilt to bring us to repentance or change our heart through guilt. God uses a godly sorrow to lead us to repentance. And there's a difference in godly sorrow and sorrow of the world, which is guilt. One thing the body of Christ needs to get a hold of is there is no guilt or shame in being corrected or brought to repentance or more sin in you being exposed. Repentance is an ongoing change of the heart. And yes, it involves some turning, some you turning from certain acts. And at times, sometimes it's just a change of attitude, an adjustment in your attitude. You know, and people naturally resist being put to shame or being made guilty, especially when they're sitting there, they've already received the Lord and they're making effort to practice their faith and a minister will come along to a person that's really trying to believe God, trying to read the Word of God, trying to walk uprightly, and you're standing there putting guilt and shame on them because of sins they haven't overcome yet. Instead of teach them, hey, you're not condemned if you walk after the Spirit. Hey, God's in the, God will deliver you. Just keep believing. Just keep going to the Lord for grace. Keep putting the Word of God in your heart, okay? And you'll overcome it. But you're, when you stand there and try to shame people that are walking with the Lord, make people guilt, because people, you can walk with the Lord and still be coming out of Romans 7, the slavery of sin. It talks about it there in Romans. That which I would not do, I do. These are people, these are Christians practicing their faith, but they still do things that are wrong. And here we got these religious leaders in behind the pulpits that they don't understand the slavery of sin, so they're always telling you, quit doing it, and condemning you for doing it. And the Bible teaches the opposite. It says there's no condemnation if you'll just make effort to practice the Word of God, walk after the Spirit. And the next verse says if you just make effort, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free. But they keep on trying to put guilt and shame on you. And it comes, and you know why they do it? Because the law is written in their heart. That's why they talk that way. Okay, so there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ who walk not in the flesh but in the Spirit. That's Romans 8:1. So we need to discern the difference between God working in us to make us one. And I want to bring some awareness to what Spirit's ministering to you. Is it the Spirit of God? Because if it's the Spirit of God, He is working to make you willing to cause you to walk in the Father's ways and in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will be enlarging our hearts so we can run the way of His commandments. God will be perfecting our faith so we can believe on the righteousness. But you know what evil spirits do? They try to make us walk down some strict guideline and then condemn us when we can't do it. Okay? Evil spirits will condemn us and try to make us think it's God correcting us. Evil spirits will tempt us and try to trap us where we can't get out of the temptation and then condemn us. God doesn't tempt us with evil. God makes a way of escape out of every temptation. God isn't trying to catch you sinning. The devil is. Okay? So I hope that will help you, because anytime you got guilt coming, God's not correcting you. I don't care what you're doing. He's not correcting you. God doesn't do that. He doesn't use guilt. He uses faith. He'll be talking to you. He'll convict you. He'll convict you and show it to you. Now, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So because you're not led of the Spirit, you're going to feel some guilt, but God wants to get you out of that. Okay, He wants to erase that from your heart. All right, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Okay, repentance from dead works is part of the foundation, and repentance from dead works is a putting off doing deeds that are not by the Spirit of God or in faith. Now, I'm not talking about the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, although those are part of the dead works, or other things that the Word of God is declaring to be sin. What I'm talking about is deeds that they're not particularly sins, but they're dead works, and that they're not by the Spirit. This is hard for people to get a hold of. There's very few that I know understand this. But dead works are other things we like to do, but it's not in favor by the Spirit. If it's not in favor by the Spirit, it's a dead work. But when you're in faith, you could do that very same deed and it'd be righteous. So here's what I recommend, okay, to be able to get this worked in your life. Because I talked about it. I was teaching this before, and I backed off because I could see people were getting guilty. And the devil constantly was trapping me. But here's what I recommend you do. And I'm not, let me just say this. I recommend just do the things you enjoy and let God either bring you into faith as you do those things, or God correct you in faith, not with guilt. And God will be, like I said, God will not be correcting you of guilt. So if you sense guilt, it's not God leading you to repent of a dead work. And don't let the devil condemn you and make you afraid. Oh, you better not do that. Just let God work this out in your life. Romans 14:22, let's read that, New International Version. So whatever you believe about those things, keep treating yourself and God. Now this is specifically talking about eating, but then it says, whatsoever is not faith is sin. And so it, God wants to lead every one of us that everything we do is in faith and by the Spirit. Okay, let me read the rest of that scripture. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. This is as you're working out, you're proving to yourself, I got faith for this. You're proving where your faith is. You're testing what you can do by the Spirit. Okay, Romans 14:22. Same scripture, complete Jewish Bible. The belief you hold about such things, keep between yourself and God. Happy is the person who is free of self-condemnation when he approves of something. Good News Translation. Keep what you believe about this matter then between yourself and God. Happy are those who do not feel guilty when they do something they judge as right. You know, when you go back into that chapter, and there are people that they believe it's wrong to drink alcohol. But the Word of God says you can do it if you have faith for it. People that they think certain foods are immoral to eat. You know, people coming out of the law of Moses, you can't eat this. But it says, you know, those of you that know every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, you can eat it. And that's why it's saying don't, blessed are those that don't condemn their stuff. You have to overcome your heart condemning you about things even when there's nothing wrong with them. So that's what this is talking about. You've got to overcome that, your heart condemning you. There are people that think, I can't eat this. And like I said, the Word of God says every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused. Now I'm talking about morally. Now, some people think I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't watch a movie, I can't listen to music unless it's gospel. But the Word of God says we're free to do all things. But we should be wanting to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Okay. And you know, I noticed in my life as I endeavored to obey God in areas of repentance and dead work, that condemning spirits would move in and try to condemn me about almost everything I did so I wouldn't have faith in what I was doing and then buy me up. And let me say this. One of the ways God will lead you to repent from dead works, and I'm talking about deeds that are not specifically written in the Bible as sins, but they're not done by the Spirit or in faith, is as God begins to change you, He'll satisfy your heart with His Word and His Spirit and replace what you like with things of the Spirit, or develop your faith where you're able to do it in the Spirit. Okay? So, you know, dead works is a hard thing for people. It's a hard thing for me, repentance of dead works. And I kind of want to avoid it, and I've kind of backed away from it. But it is a foundational teaching. And it says, repentance from dead works, then faith towards God. And this is one of the reasons why your faith doesn't work very good. Too many dead works. You're spending too much time doing what you want to do and not enough reading the Word and praying. Okay? But don't get bound up with, I can't go here, I can't go here, I go there, I can't do this, I can't do that. Okay? All things are lawful unto you. All right? All things are lawful unto you. And God won't be saying, oh, you can't do that with guilt. He won't come to you. So the devil will move in and try to bind you up. And for those of you who don't think I have the mind of God when I'm saying about dead works, consider this scripture, Luke 9:23. And he said unto them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross daily, follow me. See, he's talking about denying yourself. So if you want to grow spiritually, you've got to spend time reading the Word of God, which is reading it out loud is praying it. You've got to learn to practice the Word of God. And the commandments of God are not grievous. Correction can be hard, can be grievous, but the commandments of God, as you get your heart straightened out, it's not hard to do something. It's not hard to love your neighbor once you get a bunch of unforgiveness and strife and hate out of your heart. Go around loving everybody. What's hard about that? It's good. I enjoy loving my neighbor. It's not hard staying out of strife with people once you get set free from it. Walking in peace with your neighbor. It's not hard giving to the poor. Or, you know, giving money to the ministry. If you're covetous and you're all afraid to let go of your money, it could be hard. You see what I'm coming from? As your heart gets straightened out, obeying the words of God, it says are not grievous. All right? It's the correction that's grievous. You know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And he said, don't be yoked up again with the law of Moses. It's bondage. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:12, common English Bible. I have the freedom to do anything, but not everything is helpful. I have the freedom to do anything, but I won't be controlled by anything. Now, we know Ephesians 2 says we've all walked according to the prince of the power there, and And it says the way we did was fulfilling the desires of the mind and of the flesh. So there's certain dead works we're going to have to overcome to get out from underneath these spirits and not be controlled by them. But you're going to have to get a lot of grace in this area. You're going to have to just believe God. And this is what I recommend. I'm going to say this again. Don't just go ahead and enjoy things. Go ahead and do things you enjoy. But at the same time, start reading the Word of God and praying. And if God puts his finger on a dead work, it'll be by faith. It'll be, there'll be grace there to overcome it. That God won't come at you with condemnation. Okay, Luke 5:39. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desired new, for he said, the old is better. Now, this is a parable about the new man and the old man, and the spirit of God and evil spirits. Okay, the old bottle, the new bottles, the old man, the new man. The different wines, old wine, new wines, Holy Spirit and evil spirit. And until you're converted, you won't desire the new wine, but you'll desire the old one. You still like things of the world. You like, and the things of the world is just the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of the life in the world. Okay? And you'll like that. But, because the devil used that about don't love the world, and he'll just say, okay, you know, don't go to public school, go to a religious school. Don't get around this. Just get away from the world, you know, go hide, you know. No, we're to rule and reign in the midst of our enemies. We're to get out there, and God wants Christians out in the music world as singing artists. He wants Christians out there as actors and actresses. He wants Christians out in the business world. He wants Christians in every walk of life, all over the world, in the government, everywhere, being an epistle of Christ, being ambassadors for the kingdom of God. He doesn't want us all getting away from everybody. We're to get out in the midst. Hell, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let the world hide. They're the ones doing the evil. You know, they're the ones practicing evil. We're to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. How are we going to be a light and salt if we get away from everybody? All right? When it says come out from among them, it's talking about being in agreement and practicing the same works they do. We're to stand right in the middle of them and live a Christian life before them. And let me tell you this, repentance from dead works is changing your heart where you like the things of God better than the things of the flesh. And see, God brings about this change of heart by grace through faith, not fear and guilt. So stand against these spirits. See, fear and guilt is a method of the devil to try to bind you up. I'm going to tell you, I turned the corner on these spirits a little bit more last week. See, I'm telling you, you know why? Because my heart was getting a hold of that God didn't use guilt and fear on me. Because I was listening to a song I like, and the devil tried to make me feel good. Oh, God's trying to stop me from a dead work. No, it was not God. It was the devil. And I've had evil spirits control me with fear and guilt. I can feel these spirits when they come against me. And the devil, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it wasn't God. And you know, another thing, the Word of God says we're to believe on the righteous. So if he can constantly, see, he tries to get you to put the cart before the horse. Okay, let's be righteous and then we'll believe. No, we believe on the righteous. You've got to get in faith to get your sins dealt with. You've got to put to death your sins in faith. You've got to be illuminated to see what is right and wrong and be able to discern right and wrong in faith. See? So, like I said before, do the things you enjoy, but also take time to read the Word of God and hunger and thirst after righteousness. I hope that'll minister to someone, because this is not easy to walk through this. And what the devil does is he will just frustrate the hell out of you, where he'll bind you up where you can't do anything or you feel guilty about everything. Now, not everybody, because he can't get some people. Some people don't have a heart like that. So I minister a lot in this area because I've had a heart like that. And God will lead me to minister to help people have a different type of heart. That's why I got to teach the whole counsel of God, because the whole counsel of God, it will deal with your heart. Whatever heart, kind of heart you got, there's something in the Word of God that's going to help you get free and deal with you. And the problem I see in the body of Christ is people, they read certain scriptures, but they don't pay attention to the ones that deal with their heart. All right. I think that's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry in music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.